Ladies and gentlemen, the George Wilder Jr. Show has now arrived. This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
Wow, thanks, and welcome to the George Wilder Jr. broadcasting live out of the city of Chicago. And folks, it's raining, it's pouring. I mean, it is really something out here. It's raining, it's below temperature, it's way below normal, at least according to some of the weather forecast. It is coming down. I hope it's wonderful and sunshiny and the weather is cooperating wherever you are in the world, because this show reaches all over the world. I mean, and it does. Sometimes it even amazes me, your host. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. It is, what day is this? Can I remember? It's September 28th. Okay. And according to the polls confirms, if I can say it, my mouth is twisted. Polls confirmed that Clinton decisively won this debate over Donald Trump. I mean, that's self-explanatory. If you saw the debate, which I did see, and Hillary won hands down, and Fox News, these other creeps on Fox News, they are around saying that Trump won the debate, citing all kinds of irrelevant polls, unscientific pollsters who are giving Trump the edge, which is totally not true. They're just trying to, hoodwink you and I. But we know better. We watch the debate, and we know damn well Trump lost big time. You know, he lost big time. And I'm not saying that because I'm a fan of Hillary. I'm not a fan of Hillary Clinton's. She's just as dirty as Trump. But I think Trump is more so. As I was telling a caller yesterday on the show, we just sometimes you don't trust Hillary. Trump is not fit. But you got to go in and hold your nose and vote for somebody. You know, you just can't stay home. This election is too important, too historical to stay home and do nothing. They both stink. I'm not voting. maybe, but you have to get out there and do your duty. You can't just sit around and just hopefully and expect other people to do things for you when you can do it for yourself. And I've said that many times on the show. And the polls are in. Clinton wiped the floor with Trump at the first debate. And then the second debate is going to be on, from my understanding, October 9th, which is just about maybe a week and a half, maybe less. Who knows? But I'm thinking a week and a half. And they're saying that Trump may show up. He may not show up. And then there's reports saying that Trump is going to be a lot harder. He's going to hit Clinton harder this time. Hit her harder with what? More lies? More dodging? More interruptions? What is he going to hit her hard with? He doesn't talk about issues. He doesn't talk about policies. Trump wants the presidency so bad that he can taste it. And it seems like it's drifting away from him. He's got all these supporters. He's got them all. But the majority of his supporters are white and white supremacists, racist. We know that. People who are prone to violence. We know all of that. But Clinton, if I had a choice between Clinton and I do, between Clinton and Trump, you know, I would probably hold my nose and vote for Clinton. There are two other people in the race, but they're at this point irrelevant. I would probably hold my nose and vote for Clinton. Trump is too dangerous. This guy, his supporters are saying in so many ways, his supporters are saying just because Trump is uneducated, unknowledgeable, he has a way with putting things. He has a way with a language that we still should vote for him. You want to bet? You want to bet? You know, I mean, I don't think Americans want somebody in the White House who is unknowledgeable, unhinged, you know, very temperamental, and just don't know what he's doing. Trump likes to wing it. He doesn't like to prepare. He doesn't like to rehearse. He just want to go on stage and be Donald Trump. And that's, I think, is the reason to why he lost this thing. Not saying anything great about Clinton. And a lot of people are voting for Clinton, Hillary Clinton, because they don't want to see Donald Trump. Donald Trump is too dangerous. So they have to try and vote for one of the lesser of the two evils. And this is what's happening, folks. And, you know, we're just going to have to see what's going to happen in November. And I am pleading with people out there who are listening to this show, whether it's live or podcast or 2 or 3 weeks from now, get out there and vote. You have to vote. Do not sit home. I know you're pissed off. I am. I'm pissed off too, but we have to get out there and do our duties. We cannot sit by and let a travesty happen to America. I mean, there's so many people like, I'm not going to vote. You know, my religion and all of this kind of stuff. Yeah. I don't know, but I think that not voting is not an option. You have to get up and do something, because if you don't vote, there's a possibility of a Republican, maybe even Donald Trump, winning. But Donald Trump, and that's the truth, Donald Trump, with all of his problems, he could win this thing. There's no doubt about it. He could win this thing. And especially if people do not vote. If you don't get excited about voting, he will be your next president, and we are going to be in some deep doo-doo. And I'm not just saying that because I don't like Trump. I think, you know, there's a lot of people around who just don't like him. It's not that I don't like Trump. It's just that I don't trust him. And I actually don't trust Hillary Clinton either. But between the two of the evils, I would hold my nose and vote for Hillary Clinton, because voting is a right. Voting is something you are entitled to do. Now, in the city of Chicago, they are trying to suppress the vote. They are trying to keep people from voting. Because why are they trying to suppress the vote? Ask yourself that. They're trying to suppress the vote because they know if you get out there and do what you're supposed to do, they will not get in office, period. If you do not vote, that is a vote for a Republican. That's why they do not want you to vote. That's why they're trying every angle to suppress you, to keep you from going to the polls, because they want Donald Trump. They want a Republican. And the thing about it, in the city of Chicago and Illinois, the person who is responsible for this bad bill, this bad law, is a judge. Some of these judges think they're God, that they think, you know, but anything can be overturned, anything can be appealed, you know, and that's what they're trying to do desperately in Chicago, to repeal this law that this judge signed into law, basically suppressing the vote. And it should be going to court in a few days, or if not a few hours, you know, because this is ridiculous. You're just suppressing people's right to vote because you want a Republican in there. You want a Republican in office. One of the things about these people around the country, including a lot of governors who like to suppress the vote, you know, they know that they are vulnerable if you vote. And the thing is, a lot of people do not vote. That's why you get all of these Republicans in some of these deep southern states down south. You get all these Republican governors, and all they do is wreak havoc on their states. They wreak havoc on the people who live there. They wreak havoc on the middle class. They wreak havoc on the poor, because you don't vote. If you don't vote, you don't have a voice. You have no right to complain about anything, because you didn't. If they decide to take away your food stamps, if they decide to take away your rental assistance, they decide to take away all your social programs, and you didn't vote, you don't have the right to complain. If they don't fix your roads, your streets, your lights, they don't pave your sidewalk, you don't have the right to complain about anything, but you didn't vote. You didn't participate in democracy. You weren't out there in the trenches. You stayed home because you didn't give a damn and you didn't care, or you just don't, you know, you're way out there in Mars someplace. The thing is, you must vote. You have to get out there. Get excited. Bring your friends to the polls. Go register. Do not let your religion or whatever you want to try to say that's going to keep you from voting, do not let that happen. Do not let that happen. This is an historic election. Whether it's Hillary or Donald Trump, it's still historic, you know, and we have to get out there and vote. My job here is to try to make the world a better place, and to get you out there, to motivate you to get out there to do your duty. Get out there and do what you have to do to make this world a better place. And I don't think Donald Trump is the way to go. I'm just saying this, folks. And I really don't think he's the way to go. He lost the debate, hands down. That's what America is saying. And that's what I'm saying. And that's what you should be saying. I know there's a lot of Trump supporters out there, but you got to face the reality. This guy's not fit. You know, some people are saying that he's sick. He's sniffling, and he was in Chicago, I believe, yesterday, and he was talking, and some people were saying that he was still kind of wheezy and his throat was hoarse or whatever, and that he wasn't feeling well. I can understand it, because the guy's been out here on the campaign trail for almost 2 years. I mean, we do get sick. We do feel under the weather, but there's no doubt about it. You have to follow your doctor's advice and stay off campaign trail for a while, get some rest, get some sleep. And then once you feel that you can do this again, get back out there on the trail. But you have to get some rest. You can't do this for 2 or 3 years and not, you know, get that proper rest, because if you do not get your proper rest, your sickness is going to get a lot worse. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, talking about the election, talking about how important it is to get out and vote. You have to get out and vote. And, you know, October is just about here. And then we'll have 1 month, maybe there's 4 or 5 weeks left before the election from the day of this broadcast. So we have to do something, folks. We got to get out there and vote. Do your duty. You know, vote for who you want to vote. My job is not to tell you who to vote for. My job is to say, just go out and vote. Just go out and vote. All right. This is just in. Congress just hands Obama his first veto override of his presidency. And I have to say, I totally agree with Congress. This is about families of terrorism being able to take these rogue countries to court and sue for murder, crime, the killing of their sons and daughters. And for Obama to deny this and bring up all kind of excuses, it's just ridiculous. If anybody, it seems like Obama would have been for this, but he's not. He vetoed it and Congress overrode him. And now he's got that. He's got this on his, this is going to be part of his legacy, him being overridden for the first time and this actually becoming law. So this has kind of tainted his legacy somewhat. And I don't understand why he would not want people to take these thugs to court, especially in Saudi Arabia, actually, after they done, did all kind of demonstrous things, take them to court. So and other countries are probably going to try and take the United States to court for what they think the United States may have done, broken laws overseas or something. That's okay, because in a court of law, you either proven guilty or you're not proven guilty. And that's the American way, I have always thought. So for him to override this is just plumb ridiculous. And I know some people out there is going to disagree with me, but I'm glad Congress did it because this was this was bipartisan. This was a collection, a group of Republicans and Democrats going against President Obama. And I want to applaud them for that. Americans have a right to sue these countries in court if these countries have committed atrocities against their families. All right. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Folks, it is raining out here. It is still raining. It feels like winter instead of fall. It just, the weather has been just so erratic. But we have to deal with it. We have to deal with it. So WTTTY, broadcasting live out of Chicago, 347-857-1762. We have no guests today. There was no one scheduled today. Probably an oversight by myself. But look at it this way. All next month, calendars for October and November are all filled up for the George Wilder Jr. Show. We should have some great guests coming, folks. So for this week, there's no one. I might be an oversight by myself. I could have purposely not booked anyone for this. But October and November going to be really, really some great months for this show. Great people on this show. Great, great people. I've talked to some of them, emailed some of them. They talk to me back and they're excited. I'm excited. I think it's been over 200 or 300 guests on this show so far. Yeah. I get people are on this show from all over the world and they talk about just about anything they want to talk about. As long as it's in the frame of making the world a better place for everyone. Not just me, for you, for them. It's about making the world a better place. And that's all this show will be about until the day if this show is no more. Wow. I'm just thinking about all the rain.
Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live out of Chicago. And we are hoping to make the world a better place, one show at a time. Thank you for listening. Thank you for finding the show, downloading the show, and just having a great time. Here we go.
It says that the Senate scrambles to avoid a government shutdown. Oh, wow. Do you know what it means for the government to shut down? I mean, anything that's governmental that is ran by the government will be shut down. If you work for the government, you won't get paid. And it's not funny, but, you know, that's the truth. So they're scrambling, trying to avoid a government shutdown. And hopefully they will succeed at that. And because we don't want to see that. We don't want to see that. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me right here on Facebook. Follow me on Blog Talk Radio, Twitter. I'm all over the place. I'm on Google. I'm all over the place. I'm trying to sell books, trying to sell stories. I'm working on a few folks. And I did post something on Facebook saying that this would be my last year writing. After 2016, and I'm, you know, either I'm going to cut back or I'm going to just, you know, stop writing. It's not that I don't love what I'm doing. It's just that I'm feeling a little bit burnt out. Maybe a little bit disappointed. Not too disappointed, but because I love it. I love writing. I think it's great. And I don't do it for the money. You know, I do it because I love it. I do it because I want people out there to read what I'm all about and to understand what I'm all about. And that's all of that stuff is in my writing. So if you want to find, if you want to go and just go to www.amazon.com/author/George G. Wilder. And you'll find all that, all my works and a lot more. Even though I might quit writing, I will never stop trying to publicize what I do. I will never stop trying to put the word out about my writings, even if I don't do it as much as I've done in the past. There may be a chance here and there I might continue to write. I might just do short stories or whatever. And I mean, because the writing, when it's in your soul, it's in your soul. It's something you do until the day you die, you know. And I want to put more energies into the radio show right here. So if I cut back on writing significantly, I'm going to put more energies into the radio show, and that's going to be great. It's not like I'm disappearing from the spotlight, but I want to put more energies into the radio show because I love doing what I'm doing. And I know it's some people out there who do not think I'm doing a good job and don't give a damn and don't care. To hell with those people. And that's it. I just love what I'm doing. I love the radio. Probably won't be able to do this forever, but I'm going to do it as long as I can because I love what I'm doing. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our times, making the world a better place. Anything goes. It's always a lots of fun. And it is lots of fun. It's a lots of fun to be on this show because I try to make it fun. I try to be as fun as I can. Some people, it ain't no fun. That show ain't no fun. Being on the radio, I'm nervous. It is fun. And if it wasn't fun, I wouldn't do it. Writing, for instance, and publishing, if that wasn't fun, I wouldn't do it. I'm not going to do anything that's miserable. And I always like interesting people. I like to deal with, talk to interesting people, people who converse, people who talk, people who can add something to the conversation. That's why I have these guests on the show. They add something to the conversation. When the guests are on the show, I learn a lot. I learn things myself from my guests on the show and from the callers. I learn a lot of things, too. And that's what it's all about. You never stop learning. Learning is a lifelong endeavor. If the minute you stop learning, you're dead. Learning should always be a part of your life. I don't care if you 13 or 113. Learning goes on forever. And I'm pretty sure that there's a lot of people who know that, and there's some people who don't know it. But at least they know it now because they've heard it on the George Wilder Jr. Show, and this show. It's all about making the world a better place. And that's what it's always going to be about as long as I'm here.
So this past weekend, Hillary Clinton took a lot of heat for a comment that she made about Donald Trump supporters when she referred to, you know, about half of them as being part of what she called a basket of deplorables. Now, politically speaking, bad move by Hillary Clinton. Factually speaking, could not have been more accurate. First of all, the quote, as usual, was pretty much taken out of context because when she was talking about the basket of deplorables, she mentioned that these were the racists, the bigots, the homophobes, the sexists, the misogynists. She did list the kind of people she was talking about, and yes, those kinds of people are absolutely abhorrent. And then she talked about the other basket that's not filled with racist and horrible people, just people who are fed up with being taken advantage of by corporations, by the government, the anti-establishment folks that are not violent, they're not horrible, they're just people that want to see some change. That's the part that got left out. But when you look at the fact, and I know she's come out and apologized for this, I really wish she hadn't. This was a strong statement, it was a true statement, and she should have stood by it. But when you look at the facts and you look at who supports Donald Trump, you see that Hillary Clinton was absolutely right. Look at this. 65% of Donald Trump supporters think that President Barack Obama is a Muslim. 59% believe that he was not born in the United States. 31% say that we should ban homosexuals from entering the United States. 16% believe that whites are a superior race. Those are the people that support Donald Trump, but the New York Times goes a step further and lists out the other folks. 80% of likely Trump voters supported Trump's proposed ban on Muslims. 62% supported creating a national database of Muslims, and 40% supported shutting down mosques in the United States. 38% said they wish the South had won the Civil War. 33% thought the practice of Islam should be illegal in the United States. 32% supported the policy of Japanese internment during World War II. These are Donald Trump supporters. They are white supremacists who do believe that white is a superior race and that anyone who is not a heterosexual white man needs to be controlled somehow by the government, perhaps not allowed in this country, perhaps not allowed to practice their religion, or maybe we just round them up, put them in special places where nobody can see, touch, or hear them. That is what Donald Trump supporters believe. They truly are a basket of deplorables. At this point, it's really not even a basket. It's more of, you know, a huge giant container, maybe several baskets. That's the only problem I have with Hillary Clinton making this statement, is that she didn't go big enough. Donald Trump supporters are absolutely disgusting. And again, probably not a good political move by Hillary to say this, but that doesn't make her statement not true.
Chicago Teachers Union sets October 11th strike date. Yeah, the teachers in the city of Chicago are going to strike on October 11th, even though they have been given a raise. The sticking point here is, I believe, is their pension. They don't want to pay towards their pension. You and I pay towards our Social Security. Every week we get paid. It's deducted from our paychecks. However, these teachers think they're too good to have to pay towards their own retirement. And so they're going to up in Chicago students because they want more money and they have been working without a contract, that they have just denied because they don't want to they're saying that, I'm assuming they're saying that the 7% that they have to pay toward their pension is like a pay cut. I just got through saying, folks, you and I pay into Social Security, our jobs. It's deducted from our paychecks. Why can't they pay toward their pensions? Why can't they pay toward their retirement? Because they, they're teachers, you know, I mean, well, it's, I don't know if it's in the Illinois Constitution or not, but I know it's wrong. Anytime someone gives you a raise, you don't go right out the next day and strike. That's ridiculous. That just tells you that the 95% of these teachers who voted for this strike, they are not thinking about the children. These people are thinking about themselves. They are thinking about themselves. The children are going to be out of school starting the 12th. And every time these teachers strike, and they strike a lot in the city of Chicago, and I'm glad I don't have anything to do with Chicago public schools, at least not in a general sense. And the kids are going to be out of school. What are they going to be doing? Running the streets? And that's bad if the kids are out in the streets. But I'm pretty sure a lot of community leaders, a lot of parents are going to try to find places for their kids to go during this strike. You know, because they don't want their kids out there in harm's way because these guys are shooting. They don't want their kids to be in the crossfire of gangs. But this is crazy. This is stupid. This is loony. Yeah, I used to be for teachers. I used to be for the teachers union, but I started. But these people are just ridiculous. They know that the city is totally broke. The city doesn't have any money. Why don't you want to pay towards your own pension? You've got a raise. Maybe this balances itself out some kind of way, you know, but they are pissed off because they don't have a contract or something. They've been without a contract for about a year. It's not about the contracts. It's about kids. It's about students who want to go to school. You're going to be screwing up their education. You're going to screw up their graduation. Okay, so, all right, I'm a bleeding heart. I can handle that. I can handle that. But it seems like every few months, these teachers are threatening to strike. They get their asses out there, stop 1,000 of them or so, get their asses out in the street downtown, blocking traffic, blocking your way into a store, into affecting you and your shopping because they want to be seen, they want to be heard because they're striking for more money. And my understanding that the city, they don't have it. I would think they don't have it with all the lawsuits up Rahm Emanuel's ass. I would think there's no money to be paid out. I don't know if the city's going to give into this. You know, I don't really think the city is going to give into this strike because they're going to say that they negotiated it in good fashion with the teachers union and they're just being bullheaded in a way. Yeah, teachers unions, the teachers union set to strike October 11th. Wow. Further tuning up the pressure during the already tense negotiations, the Chicago Teachers Union's House of Delegates. That's one of the things I've always wanted. Who in the hell House of Delegates? What the hell? Sounds like something from the 18th century around Napoleon Bonaparte, the House of Delegates or something. It sounds something a part of the that's out in England or somewhere, the Queen and King, House of Delegates. My understanding is that they are a part of the teachers union where they are, they set the dates of the strike. I still don't understand these people. The House of Delegates. Now, to me, this is just a group of worthless people who are trying to make themselves feel superior over those who are not. Okay, Chicago's Teachers Union's House of Delegates on Wednesday set a strike date for October 11th. Okay, quoting, if we cannot reach the agreement by then we will withhold our labor. That was CTU, Chicago Teachers Union President Karen Lewis. She said this at a news conference Wednesday afternoon, which is today. It's time to move this along. Okay, the teachers voted to strike 99% strong, and they are going to strike. How long? I don't know. I don't know, but this does not affect me, you know, at all, or my kids. This does not affect, you know, because Chicago public schools are a mess, and it's not the kids, it's not the students, it's not that, it's, and in some cases, it's not even even some of the well qualified teachers. It's the politicians. It's the politicians. All right, let's see. But Lewis had this to say to parents concerned about a possible strike and the effects on their children, as if they give a damn about the effects on the children. If they're, you know, and a lot of the parents in the city of Chicago, they're pissed off at the teachers union also for striking and having to put their children through this type of situation when they could be in school learning, you know, and that's why a lot of parents are considering, homeschooling their children out of this rotten system, teaching their kids at themselves. You do not have to have a master's degree, a bachelor's degree to homeschool your child. You can do it with a high school diploma. You know, so even myself, I'm thinking about homeschooling, but even though I don't have to do it with Chicago Public Schools, that's a blessing. But there's so many parents who are taking their kids out of these schools and teaching the kids themselves at home in a caring environment. This is what's happening. This is what's happening. Parents who are able and capable and feel that they have the knowledge and the background and the intelligence, they are going to be taking their kids out of public schools. And some have already done it, been doing it for years. Homeschooling their children. And I applaud that. I think that's great. I think that is one of the greatest things a parent can do for their child. However, I can understand some parents sending their kids to public schools or schools, you know, out in the neighborhood or community. They want their children to be around other children, their own age. That's understandable. They want their children to have friends. That's understandable. You know, but still in all, homeschooling doesn't mean that your child will not have friends. Homeschool doesn't mean that your child will not be interacting with other people, other teenagers, or other children their age. It's just that the parent is taking control of their children's education, taking it out of the hands of these incompetent people, you know. People who, and I think this is totally incompetent. I mean, every time these teachers strike, you throw these kids in a situation where they're not learning, where, you know, you throw them in a situation where they could be shot walking down the street, sitting on the stump, sitting on the steps, going to the park because there's no school. They don't have anything to do. I call this incompetency, and I call this totally, totally uncalled for. So I'm not, as you probably know, if you've been listening to the show, you know that I'm not at all for a teacher strike because you're screwing up children. You're messing them up. You're putting them in a situation that they did not ask to be in. You're putting them in a situation that they did not do anything to be in that type of situation. It's adults, it's the grown-ups, it's the politicians, it's the administration that's doing all of this. It's the teachers union. It's the greedy ass teachers union. These people want more money. They don't want to pay towards their own pension. So I am totally, totally not for that. I'm just not for that. Okay, she's saying, I want parents to know that it's that come October 11th, hopefully we're in school because they're that's where we'd rather be. They're saying that they're in school because that's where they'd rather be. It's where they'd rather be. If the teachers want to be in school and that's where they rather be, then why in the hell are they striking? Why did 95% of the teachers in the city of Chicago vote to strike if they rather be in school? Maybe they think, maybe they're thinking that from this day ongoing to October 11th, that the city may find a way to negotiate a contract with them. Maybe that's what they're thinking. I don't know, but it could be. It could be. This is in the mayor's power to solve. Okay. And basically, if they, if the school, if the teachers want more money in their pockets, basically the mayor is going to be going where? He's going to come to us. He's going to come to the taxpayer to order to pay these teachers. Pisses me off. I mean, I don't want to be paying for incompetent teachers. I don't want to be paying for teachers to sit home and do nothing. But this is what's happening. And the teachers, they want us to pay more. They want us to do more for them. Some of these teachers feel like they're godsend and that we should support them. We should support them for no matter how much money they want. These teachers are riding around in brand new 2015-16 SUVs. They got brand new homes. They're wearing jewelry all over the place. I mean, bracelets, you know, and acting as they're so superior to those, to the parents of the kids they're teaching. I've seen them. I've ran into teachers who are totally incompetent. I'm not bashing teachers. I'm not downing all teachers, but I'm just saying what my experience has been, and it has not been a good one. Not with some of these teachers. It's some good teachers out there, folks. Just like there's bad cops, there's bad teachers, and I'm talking about the bad teachers. And I know I'm going to get blasted on this. But, oh, George, you're wrong on teachers. No, I'm not. You got these kids going to be out in the streets come October the 11th, because these teachers want more money and they've just got a raise. They're pissed off because they're going to have to pay toward their pension, as if we didn't have to pay towards our Social Security in order for us to retire. It's just, I guess the teachers feel that they're different or something. You know, they're different from the rest of us. You know, they're teachers, right? A lot of them teachers look like they don't know much, don't know a grade above what they're of the kids that they're teaching. Don't get me wrong, I'm not bashing on teachers. I'm just pissed off because these teachers in the city of Chicago are, to me, going on a strike and putting these kids in limbo. And Karen Lewis, she's just a mess. And they're saying that they're trying to put all of this on the mayor. They're saying it's the mayor's problem. Give me a break. It's not the mayor's problem. It's the CTU's problem. See, these people, you have to understand something. You can't believe and go for everything that you hear in the news. You can't believe everything you read on the internet, even if it's in a publication that you know to be legitimate. People lie. People try to sway your thinking. People try to get you to do things because they think it's right. You know, some of these publications, you read stuff, they'll try to tell you who to vote for, who not to vote for, what to do, what to think, what not to think. Yeah, you have to realize that everything that you read on the internet, no matter where it's from, what publication, who's saying it, you have to delve a little deeper to find out if that particular passage or article is true. Okay. Now, they're striking in the city of Chicago, and they're saying that this is the mayor's problem. It's not the mayor's problem. They want the mayor to raise taxes and pay them. Taxes will be among the citizens who live in the city of Chicago. We are already being taxed to death. We are already paying these teachers' pensions. We are already shelling out money for the teachers' paycheck that they get every week or every 2 weeks or whatever. And now these teachers want more. They want more. And I just don't understand that. I think that if I was a guessing man, I probably would say this strike is going to last a long time. It's going to be overwhelming. It's going to last a hell of a long time because I don't think the mayor is going to cave into this. He has caved in many times before to this teachers union and giving them what they want. He's caved in like I don't know what. Forrest Claypool, he's caved in. All right, we'll give you what you want. What is it? We'll give you what you want. And the more you give these people what they want, the more they're going to want it some more. The more they're going to want more. That's how I think about it. You know, and it's true. You give them what they want, they're going to come back and want more. And this is what the teachers union is doing, from my estimation. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Tune into this show. You will call in 347-857 with your opinion or whatever, you know, or sit back and just relax and let me do all the work. We have no guests on the show, as you can probably tell, but we have plenty of conversation. And we have plenty of good music. Even though this is not I'm not a DJ or anything, so don't even go there. But, you know, it's just you listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Let's see what we can do here. All right, let's do this right quick. I don't know if we can do the whole thing, but...
As perhaps 100 million Americans prepare to watch tonight's first debate, there's something I'd like you to consider. In the first volume in this series of comments, I listed 176 reasons Donald Trump cannot and must not be elected President of the United States. That list was actually only half its original length, and it still took nearly 17 minutes to...
...with some of the things that keep us dumb. The media, in particular the local news, 50% of airtime is wasted on previews of the shallow stories that are coming up next. The lead stories are usually the most disgusting and evil things they can dig up for that day. For instance, anything involving black youth will be a top story. Anything involving black youth and violence will be even on top of the top story. Anything involving black crime will be a top story. Anything involving black on white crime will be an even more top story. So you get the idea. They lie about everything. The weather reports are always wrong, except in places like Hawaii. And then they always have a daily health report by a, quote, specialist, except the people usually give out the wrong advice. And then they always end the report with, check with your doctor before following any of these tips. So that should tell you right there that it's questionable and suspect. Gas prices ending with 0.9 cents. I never quite understood this. Although I don't drive, I prefer to be driven. But I do observe things when I'm on the road. And in the early days, gas actually sold for 9.9 cents per gallon. So it wasn't dumb back then, but nowadays it's ridiculous. And the day is coming when gas is going to cost 79.99 cents, and this display will look like this. Okay, this might be a West Coast thing, but it's gotten over here as well. I used to associate it with Valley Girls. Back in the 80s, 90s, we used to mimic the Valley Girls when they would say things like, oh, and I'm like so happy to like be here, and he's like really cute, and you know, like was like the insert word for whatever you were getting ready to say. And it sounds ridiculous. It did back then, and it still does. Okay, I know a lot of you are big fans of Costco, Walmart, Sam's Club, but I got to say something about especially Costco's. Now, one, you have to buy a membership. What happened, people? Who's dumb enough to pay a store to allow them to shop there? That's number one. Then I heard they don't take food stamps. So there goes, you know, a big piece of your market, Costco, from the people who get food stamps. Why can't they shop? Is what, their money's not good enough? So I just really have an issue with this, because it's sort of like an elitist type thing, and I understand you have to buy in bulk and all of that. So, you know, me being single with no children living in my home, I don't see the need to buy in bulk. That's just the only thing I buy in bulk is toilet paper, because I'm obsessed with running out of it. But other than that, I don't see stocking up on food or anything. Not at this point. At some point, it will become necessary, people, to stock up as we get closer to Armageddon. But for right now, you can still have just your little, you know, necessary items. But I don't like these Sam's Clubs, Costco's, and all these places that have turned it into just a real hustle. That's what it is. Okay, yeah, the prices are good. I get it. And you save money. But I understand it's always crowded in these places, and that some of the deals are not that great. So bear that in mind when you go to these joints. Okay, so award shows are just an inexpensive way for the networks to bring out the top actors and actresses and performers and get them to appear in a TV show for free by offering them glory, a little gift bag, and some cheap little statues. That's really what it boils down to. Political parties are another hustle. In America, they have two goals: make the other party fail, and two, take money from lobbyists to fund re-election campaigns, and then we re-elect them. That's pretty much what they do. Here's a little history for y'all. The Ford Model T got 24 miles per gallon. So what's our problem? Okay, useless ads. This is another way that they dumb down America. Millions of dollars are spent every day to advertise products that really don't need any advertising. For instance, Tampax. Everybody knows what they've got to do when that time comes. So to advertise them are just useless. This is something that you're taught at home. Before you even get out in public, you're taught about these things. So most people know what Tampax are for. And those ads, they just are making people dumber. Okay, another trend right now, which is also keeping America dumb, is the illusion that certain products, especially candy and dessert products like cake and stuff, are fat-free. To hell they are. I'm fat, and I eat fat-free stuff, and I'm still fat. So don't believe it. Okay, how they were able to pull this off, I don't know. But this is considered politically correct. A restaurant named Sambo's. And then you've got the sexy, and all of these things are stereotypical. You've got the sexy flight attendant, and then you've got my favorite, Aunt Jemima. Another case of political correctness is when they decided that calling homeless people bums were an insult, and so the word was changed to homeless. And I remember as a child hearing an adult say, oh, you better do this, you better do that, or you're going to grow up to be a bum. And now, of course, people don't tell their children, if you don't work, if you use drugs, if you spend all your money and don't pay your bills, you're going to wind up to be a bum. No, they tell them you're going to wind up to be homeless. And, you know, political correctness, I don't even know where that term came from. But we used to say, call a spade, and basically that, you know, that's derived from the card game. But the message and the connotation is the same. I call it like I see it. I was homeless, and I was homeless because of a lot of factors, but one of them actually was because I was a bum. I was a bum. When I didn't pay my rent, I was a bum. When I put my weed habit over my bills, I was a bum. And when I indulged in a lot of stuff that I couldn't afford, at a time when I couldn't afford it, I was a bum. So we call it like we see it. Another thing that these politically correct people have changed, because they assume that we have a problem with it, is that the handicapped are no longer called handicapped, they're called disabled. What's the difference? We still can't do things. I don't mind being called handicapped because I am unable to do the things that I used to do when I was not handicapped. However, it's considered more politically correct to refer to us as disabled. I don't see the difference. This is going to shock some of you, but most of you already know it. Most of that water you're buying, it's tap water. I've been drinking tap water. I put it in my fridge. I've been doing this for years. And guess what? I'm still here. You're wasting your money, folks. Most of that water came from someone's sink. Debit cards, another scam. If you can't control yourself with a credit card, then you definitely can't control yourself with a debit card either. The only difference is that the debit card.
You are listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on the Wilder Network, WTTTY, the talk of our times. You miss a show, you will miss a hell of a lot. Thank you for listening and stay with me.
All right, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm loading up on coffee, folks, because it's raining outside. It is pitch black. It feels like the first day of winter in the city of Chicago. But, you know, you got to be blessed. I mean, to you've gotten up this morning, so we want to be blessed for that. All right, let's go to the phones. All right, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead.
Yeah, welcome to the show. How you
doing, man? I'm cool.
Thanks, man. Yeah?
No problem. Okay.
Yeah, I saw the topic, but I know what you were just talking about. I only called in a few minutes ago. So, I mean, anything you wanted to, you know, or go to first? Or
I was talking about the teacher strike, homeschooling, and I was talking about Hillary Clinton. I was talking about some of the Republicans, specifically Fox News, saying that Donald Trump won the debate when he did not win the debate. And they're being reprimanded for that, I think, by the owners of that station for citing that Donald Trump won the election, citing unscientific poll numbers. And that was interesting.
Yeah, I'll just say the mistakes are always bigger than the retraction. So the people who mm-hmm. wanted to hear that he won and wanted to reinforce that they felt like he did a good job, they got to hear what they wanted to hear already, so the job has been done. The retraction will be small, not important, and people will not be convinced otherwise.
You're right about that.
Feeling that way. So, you know, that's the game yeah. being played right there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's his.
So go ahead.
I was going to say that's his supporters, maybe. And that's people who are with their heads in the sand because she wiped the floor with this guy. And, you know, but make no bones about it. This guy can wind up being president of the United States.
Yeah, could happen. Could happen. I mean, she's going to need 90% of the black vote. And that means she's going to need a whole lot of black eligible voters to actually register and get out there and do it. And black people are kind of, you know, lukewarm on her. So there's not a guarantee that that's going to happen. I could care less if it does either way with her and him anyway. But
yeah, me
your
too.
Other point about your other point about the teacher strike in Chicago, man, this has been going on for some years, just the problems they're having between the government, local government, and the teachers union. And, you know, they're not getting the materials they're supposed to get. They're supposedly dealing with schools that are in disrepair. They're dealing with districts being crammed together with all the school closings. So you basically got a, you know, you got a dumpster fire situation and you're asking them to teach as normal teachers would. Then you got the side of they have a responsibility to the children and to the future generations to make sure that, you know, the classwork is done, but at what cost to their own personal families and their own personal, health. Because, I mean, they got to live life, too. So it's a real funny situation because you don't want people to get taken advantage of, you know, just because you can always say, think at the children. You know, you can always throw that up at them. But at the same time, every union is supposed to fight for the, you know, the rights of the membership of that union. If those things are being, you know, kind of stepped on, they have to have some kind of hammer to fight back.
Yeah, I think you're right on some points. However, the teacher strike in the city of Chicago, these teachers, man, they get paid a lot of money. They are some of the highest paid teachers in America, okay? And they've just gotten a raise, right? And they are going out on strike after getting a raise, okay? And that doesn't make sense. And with all the crime in the city of Chicago, you would think that they would want the kids to be in school and off the streets. The sticking point here is that the city of Chicago wants them to pay towards their own pension, and they don't want to do that. I mean, you and I pay towards, maybe you and I, or people like us, we pay towards our Social Security when we're getting our check. They're taking out for that. I don't understand why the teachers do not want to pay a little bit towards their own retirement. Instead, they're getting pissed off and going out to strike because they have to pay towards their own retirement. They're calling it a pay reduction. I don't understand it. When they've gotten a raise, it seems like it would balance itself out.
Yeah, but that's a little difficult there because you talk about taking mm-hmm. away with one hand and giving a little bit with the other and calling it even.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're doing the numbers and looking at it and saying that it's not, I would tend to believe what they're saying. And then you always got to remember, any union, whatever you give away, you'll never get back. So it's not a thing of you give this away temporarily, and then when things improve, you'll get it back. That would be the new normal. And if you are fighting not only for your generation, but the teachers that come behind you, there are some things that you consider, you know, non-negotiable, and you're going to have to fight on them. So I don't know, man. That's a complicated issue. Like I said, and like I said, you always got to remember the conditions of the schools. All of the schools' closings that cause, you know, all these big classes now that they have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
We got situations where rivals are actually put into the same school, and then they turn around and call the school dangerous after they shuffled everybody into the same school. So there's a whole lot going on there, man. And I think the teachers do have a legit argument. But like you said, though, the most important thing is the children and making sure that at least they have 8 hours of somewhat normalcy. You know, within a school setting. So that's a deep one, man. Me and you ain't gonna be able to work this out over a phone call, though.
I know, because that's what this show is all about, trying to come up with solutions to problems out here, not just in Chicago, but in the world. But there's so many problems, and there's so many things to touch on. It's just too overwhelming to do. And getting back to the teacher strike, I'm totally against it. I don't think they should be out there disrupting traffic downtown, blocking your entrance into some of the businesses downtown just to try to show a force. I think they should be in school. It's just me. I think they should be in school with the children instead of putting the children in harm's way. I'm all about the children. I'm all about the kids.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, I understand your sentiment. No matter what, when you're talking about children, yeah, it's going to be emotional. And, you know, it's hard to argue against that side, no matter what. But man, when you're a union or any type of body who has a grievance, disrupting the lives of other people is the only way you're going to actually get attention. So when people tell Black Lives Matter, they shouldn't block highways, they shouldn't disrupt things, well, that's the only way the conversation is actually going to get started, when other people feel the pain. As the great Martin Luther King Jr. said, you know, peace be upon his name, redistribute the pain, when he talked about striking. And, you know, some of the mass movements he did in the Poor People's Campaign, you know, that's what he was looking at it as.
Yeah,
as,
yeah.
We're not going to be the only ones who suffer unless the justice will be done. So I don't know, man. I don't know. That's a tough one, dude. I mean,
you know what? It still doesn't make it right. It still doesn't make it right, because the kids are upended. And I'm thinking about all the violence in the city of Chicago. They're going to be out there in harm's way. Parents already, they're trying to scuffle and to try to see what they're going to do with their kids when this thing happens. It's just not right, I don't think.
And the teachers have to come. They have to come with some type of go-between on that. They have to figure out how they can rent out a couple rec centers, bring in children and teach there, go around to some homes and have children gather there and do it there. They have to do something to where they show the community that, look, even though we have this fight over here, we are still dedicated to teaching these children, and we're not going to act like our issue is the only thing that's important. So they're going to have to do some give and take on that. Otherwise, like you said, it's going to look selfish and self-serving to a certain extent. So I get your point, you know.
Yeah.
It's
tough. Man. All right. Thanks for your call, man. You're always welcome.
Appreciate it, man. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. We are about to take a quite, let's see, can we take a break? Do we have the, okay, let's take a break right here with this
new national
clip.
CNN poll out for the presidency. Now, Donald Trump, it's almost not fair. The guys, there's never been a train wreck of this proportion in history. A ham sandwich would be killing this guy in the polls. Am I right? I mean, anybody could run against this guy. But whoa! Hillary Clinton losing to Donald Trump in a national poll. Now, whether that's within the margin of error or if it's this, that, and they didn't ask the question, that is pathetic. Donald Trump, as close to a legitimate clown as we've ever had. He's got the orange hair and the orange face, and he's a maniac and a clown. He's psychotic. He's bankrupt every time he starts a business.
He couldn't make money with a casino.
Couldn't make money with a casino. He's been prosecuted for being a racist, him and his father, for being racists. Couldn't offend. There isn't a group in America left besides white racists he hasn't offended. You're still losing to him. Think about that, what the Democrats did to America. Instead of giving a candidate that people like Bernie said, they forced this down our throat. You know why? Because they don't care about beating Trump as much as they care about keeping the status quo. Here's another reason why maybe she's losing in the polls, because people can't stand her. And we see right through her. Here, look at this. This is from the statements that best describe Hillary Clinton. She has the personality and temperament to serve. Only 42% of America says that. So 6 out of 10 people say she doesn't have the personality or temperament to serve. Does she care about people like you? 2 out of 10 people believe that. 2 out of 10. I'm going to guess the upper 20% of income earners. She shares your values. Again, 2 out of 10 people says 2 out of 10. She shares their values. Honest and trustworthy, 1 in 10. 9 out of 10 people say she's not trustworthy or honest. 9 out of 10 people. And these are the people that the left-wing media is singing her praises, defending her every corrupt move. They can't defend her enough. Paul Krugman can't write enough columns about what a great woman she is. 9 out of 10 people don't trust her. So maybe that's why you picked a horrible candidate, and we were screaming it to people. We were screaming it to Debbie Wasserman Schultz. We were screaming it to Joan Walsh. We were screaming it to Rachel Maddow. We were screaming it to everybody at MSNBC and CNN. We were screaming it. And the New York Times, hey, she's a horrible candidate. Nobody liked her back in 2008. Guess what? She got her ass kicked by a black guy with a Muslim name. We rejected her then. What do you think? Why would we want her any? Things are only worse now. One guy says, here's a guy named Amir on online. He says, note to the Democrats, when you insult voters by denying fair primaries, they probably won't like it. Yeah, so it's come out that her and the Democratic Party were in collusion to screw over a real progressive for somebody with Republican policy positions. Not even Democrat. She's pro-fracking. She's pro-TPP. She's pro-the Exxon pipeline. She's for more deregulation of Wall Street. She's a warmonger. She's not a Democrat. She's not what we consider Democrat. But the Democratic Party, more interested in power than actually beating Donald Trump, rammed her down our throat, which we now know. It was revealed in WikiLeaks. It was revealed. Here's it. And here's what I found this. I don't know who made this. When voting for Hillary after she steals the nomination from your candidate, it's like watching McDonald's worker spit in your sandwich and eating it anyway. But they don't need our votes. Hillary Clinton isn't coming to get my vote anyway. She's not coming after environmentalists. She's not coming after anti-war people or peace wing of her party. She's not coming after us. She's not coming after people who want economic justice, who want to re-regulate Wall Street, who want to break up. She's not coming after us. She knows she's going after Jeb Bush voters. Literally, she's going after them. She's not coming after us. She's not coming after Jill Stein voters. And she's losing. This her strategy of going after Republicans is a loser. Let's remember, when the people are presented with a Republican or someone who sounds like a Republican, they choose the Republican every time. Why do people not like her? Why is she losing to Donald Trump in a national poll right now? Why? I'll tell you why. It's not like the Democrats don't know it. They're just hoping that everybody has amnesia. The Democrats know why. Here's Barack Obama telling you why. And then we're going to, and someone juxtaposed it with Barack Obama from today. And you can see that their strategy for winning an election is lying to their own voters. Ready?
I just have to remind people of the track record. If you want someone with a lifelong track record, now this is Senator Clinton. This is the same person who has taken more money from lobbyists than any other candidate, Democratic or Republican, of fighting for higher wages and better benefits and a fairer tax code and a bigger voice for workers and stronger regulations on Wall Street.
See, that's bull. And we all know that's bull. Except he stands up there and says it full-throated with a grin on his face like he can snow us. But we're not being snowed anymore. We see through it. We see through it. You, Barack, you're pushing the TPP with all your might, which is against everybody in your party, everybody on your base, all fair-minded economists. You're going against everybody because you're in the pocket of corporations, and we all see through it. We see through that. You say, because we heard what you said in 2008. We heard what you said, because you're saying then what we are all saying now and have been saying ever since. So the Democrat strategy is the hope that everybody has amnesia.
This is the same person who took money from financial folks on Wall Street and then voted for a bankruptcy bill that makes it harder for folks right here in Pennsylvania to get a fair shake. Then you should vote for Hillary Clinton. This is the same person who spent a decade with her husband campaigning for NAFTA and now goes around saying how she was opposed to NAFTA. She's got specific ideas to invest in new jobs.
to help workers share in their company's profits. This is the same person who says she's voting for the Columbia trade deal. Turns out that her top advisor, her top strategist, was working for the Colombian government to get the bill passed. There has never been a man or a woman, not me, not Bill, nobody, more qualified than Hillary Clinton to serve as president of the United States of America.
All righty. So America knows. That's the problem. You keep thinking, oh, we'll just have a new, we'll have a new commercial strategy. We're going to have a marketing strategy where we pretend that all the stuff that America knows, they don't know anymore. And we'll pretend that she's actually going to help people who are struggling when she's not. She already backtracked on $15 minimum wage. She already washed her hands of that, even though it's in the platform. This is called lipstick on a pig. This is window dressing on shit. That's what this is. We know who Hillary Clinton is. Everybody does. That's why she can't beat, she can't get past 50%. She can't beat Donald Trump. A woman, the first woman, can't, You should be ashamed. The Democrats should be ashamed of themselves. But they're not. Because it's all about money. They don't care. Guys like Paul Krugman, who can't write enough bullshit articles in defense of this garbage.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our time. This is the talk of our times on Block Talk Radio, the Wilder Network.
All right, Mary Mitchell is a columnist, Chicago Sun-Times. And she's been a columnist for the Chicago Sun-Times for many, many, many years. She writes her things about the situations in the city of Chicago, no matter if it's political, local, or whatever. She writes about it, and she gives her opinion. And she's, today, she's writing about the Chicago city. I was hearing not too long ago, the government is down, the Chicago State University. And my thinking is enrollment is down in so many other Chicago universities, all because of the budget. But Mary Mitchell saying that Chicago State University needs to clean up its act. Very prestigious school. Everybody don't know much about Chicago University, an American college, and at one time it was totally prestigious. Somehow it then hit rock bottom thing. And let's see what she, okay, that started out as a place where students, especially those from working income back, could get a quality education while holding down a job and raising a family. It was a place where someone who brought up the rear academically in high school could parlay persistence and determination into a college degree. And it all started as a place where African-American scholars and historians were treated with dignity and could share their knowledge without worrying about cutthroat politics. But thanks to an ongoing struggle between a faction loyal to the politics of personality and cronyism, Chicago became a laughingstock state university system, give critics ample ammunition to call for its shutdown. They're thinking about shutting down Chicago State University. That's got to be a misnomer. That can't happen, in my opinion. All right. While students and faculty rallied in Springfield last year to keep the doors open during the budget, the school's administrators have been showing competent leadership that causes black institutions to implode. I totally agree. it's not the students of some of these administrations, grammar schools, high schools, it's grown people who are in charge of things that are mucking up for the rest of them, for the rest of us. Does the Board of Trustees $600,000 make the university's president, Thomas J. Calhoun Jr., disappear only 9 months on the job? Why would somebody pay? Yeah, that's crazy. $600,000 for him to disappear, not show up again. Just giving him money when the university itself, they're broke. They're broke. If you're going to give somebody $600,000, they're going to take it. If you just give it to them and disappear, that's ridiculous. Why would you do that? And that's one of the things she's complaining about in this article. If that were not suspect, if that was not suspect enough, those board members are now hiding details about the severance deal behind a confidentiality clause. To make matters worse, only 80% of the people registered for the school's fall freshman class, that includes part-timers. Only 80% of people are registered. That should be 100%. Traditionally, nearly 90% of all people who attend Chicago State University are transfer students. Still, this dismal fall registration, people are not going to the school, people are not registering, is a new low for the university that has had to fight the perception that it offered an inferior education to students who had few options. And that's going around. A lot of these schools, whether it's a grammar school, a college, they're now offering inferior educations. This is why I had to bring up the topic of homeschooling, because I do think that a lot of these kids out here are getting inferior education. When the teachers go on strike, to me, that's an inferior education. That's you uprooting those students. They should be in the classroom learning. Instead, you're trying to get more money from the taxpayer because you think you deserve it. You know, it's just wrong. And a lot of the education is not like what it used to be. I mean, I've said this before, you've got some schools out here, and that's quite a few, they don't even provide textbooks. They don't even give the students homework anymore. How the hell you learn like that? That's why the parents are pulling their out of these traditional schools and homeschooling their kids with great success. Lots of success. The university projected a 20% enrollment decline based on the lack of MAP grant funding, MAP funding, and financial resources like most public universities in the state of Illinois. But the power struggles by the university's faculty union that the board trustees resigned. I mean, you get all these people, the trustee board, all these, the dean, all of these people are corrupt at this university, I think, giving and taking money from under the table, probably to students to attend. Enrollment is down at State University. To me, that would be a travesty because Chet is doors. A lot of students who still are there in another university and start from AB. This is just a tragedy. It's just a tragedy. People are paying the money just to leave, to quit, don't come back. And you wonder why the school is about to be shut. It's a sad thing, folks. And that's why we're here, to try to help a better place. And we're going to keep doing that. We're going to keep doing that because it can happen.
bombs begin to fall. Never saw. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has a claw. Heaven help us all.
Love that little laugh. Someone is saying I have 60 seconds left into the show. So I want to thank everybody who joined me. I want to thank my callers. I want to thank my listeners. I want to thank all of you out there who are so supportive of the show and what I do. And that means so much to me because that will keep me doing it. And I think all writers, everybody out there who is doing something great, something positive for the community, I think everybody out there needs support. Children need support of their parents. Parents need the support of their kids. You know, we all need support in what we're trying to do. That is the only way we're going to be tuning into the George Wilder. We are just about off. Folks, I hope you tune into the show tomorrow. It's been great. Bye-bye, everyone. Oh.